Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the DGDG.com studios on the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
That's for it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, when that happened last night, I knew exactly how today's show was going to go. How are you doing? Oh, a very fine Donskoy to all of you.
About 10 seconds left in period one. Jonas Donskoy through center with a head of steam. With a shot, he scores!
Yeah!
Hey Sharks fans, learn to dance like me. Get a Donskoy Bubbleways ticket back when we face the Avalanche on April 5th and take home a dancing Donskoy.
Donskoy, greatest ever.
Scar!
What do you know? All even, welcome to the Bandwagon broadcast. I am your starting goalkeeper, Damon Bruce. It is wonderful to be with you. Gianna Franco on the blue line.
Hi.
Look at my centerman today. We've got Nick running the point. We've got a whole bunch for you this afternoon, and it's so good to be here. Did I mention last night was fun?
Jonas Donskoy!
If you're a Sharks fan, you got to be excited. You are going back to Vegas, and the Western Conference semifinals is 2 out of 3. Who is going to go continue to skate for the cup? Big, big, big. Big win last night. 4-0 Martin Jones. 34 saves for his 6th career postseason shutout. And again, Sharks fans very happy. Game 5, Friday in Vegas. Game 6, San Jose on Sunday.
Jonas
Donskoy! Gianna, I smell show road trip.
I agree 100%.
Absolutely. We might have to get ourselves to SAP on Sunday.
Yep.
Welcome. It is great to have you here today. We've got Tim Bontemps at the bottom of the hour talking a whole bunch of Warriors basketball and NBA action. How crazy is this? Cavaliers and Raptors tip off like around now.
Now, yeah. It's getting underway.
6 o'clock go time, East Coast. Now we're going to do it. All right. So the big series that everybody's looking forward to tomorrow, obviously, is going to continue in New Orleans. We've got our man, boots on the ground, John Dickinson, is in the Big Easy. I like that. It's a good road trip for John.
Yeah.
I'm sure he would like to see the Warriors sweep, but if this thing had to be extended for a couple trips to New Orleans, it's not the worst thing I've ever heard of. Hopefully, JD is having a great time. There are no direct flights, by the way. San Francisco to New Orleans, it's not an option. You got to go like to L.A., you got to fly to Vegas, then you got to go to New Orleans. You got to jump somewhere. So, unfortunately, it's not a direct flight for JD. But he should be having a really, really good time. We are going to talk to him about how good the Warriors looked with Steph Curry back in the mix. It's amazing. You know, we had JaVale McGee on yesterday. JaVale McGee said something in our conversation with him that I didn't even really notice until I re-listened to it. Listen to what JaVale McGee had to say about Steph Curry.
Man, you know, Steph, he's the nicest guy in the NBA, personally, to me, so I feel like. So he's such a positive person, and he just knows what he has to do and what he can do. So it's just like a humble brag. Like, yeah, I'll come off the bench and score 25 or 27 in 25 minutes.
I love that. I missed it when he was saying it. Steph is so egoless, but he's going to go ahead, just come off the bench, and he's going to do it like a humble brag. I can still be a major, major factor in this game. I'll just come off the bench and do it to you like that. The Steph humble brag. I love it. Coming off the bench. Looking good. Speaking of looking good when you need to, have we mentioned that the American League MVP goes directly through Jed Lowry?
And now the 2-0 offering to Jed is swung on, drilled to right center. Gordon going back right to the track. He will watch it fly. And that quickly, the Athletics have tied it up in the eighth inning on a line shot home run to right center by Jed Lowry. A's 2 and the Mariners 2.
Mark Canna would make that a ball game and a winner for the A's in the ninth inning. Lowry strikes in the eighth. By the way, Jed Lowry, stay hot, Jed Lowry. He's hitting .341, 8 home runs, 30 RBIs. He's got the fifth best WAR in the American League. His 30 RBIs are tied for the American League lead with Didi Gregorius, who is playing out of his mind baseball for the New York Yankees right now. But Jed Lowry, just bow at the altar. That belongs to Jed Lowry. The guy is on fire. Jed Lowry! All things Jed here on 95.7 The Game. It is really good to be with you today. We are going to have ourselves a fantastic couple of hours with you. Really few hours, which will culminate at 6 o'clock, Gianna, when we have two listeners stop on by for our flyaway trivia contest. Somebody today is going to be winning a pair of tickets, including airfare to New Orleans for game 4.
Wow.
Pretty cool, right?
That is very cool.
So we're going to have our two contestants who have already been contacted, already have been randomly selected. They're coming up at 6 o'clock to battle minds. It's a trivia contest, but we are going to send somebody off to New Orleans before the end of today's show. That should be a really good time. You do not win a date with John Dickinson. That is not part of the contest package. But I'll just say this right now. If you meet up with JD anywhere on Bourbon Street and you catch him on the right heater, you can completely take advantage of that guy.
You have permission. You have Damon's permission to do so.
You have my full permission to find John Dickinson and absolutely take full advantage of him mentally and physically. Whatever you got to do to enjoy New Orleans, if John's willing to help you do it, by God, have a great time. That's fantastic. Could somebody text JD and let him know that we've absolutely put...
It's only fair.
Sexual favors on the table for any of our traveling listeners if they go to New Orleans. The show's getting weird from the jump.
He should be warned.
Nah, you know what? It's more fun if we don't warn him. It really is. You know, we can joke about these things, but other places, these things are no longer joking items. And certainly the National Football League and the Washington Redskins are finding that out the good old-fashioned way, which is always the hard way. A very interesting story about Redskins cheerleaders, what their expectations of a trip were, what actually happened, where I think there is a disconnect, where I think change needs to come, and where I think there's also an admission of, well, what are we all brought here to do today is sort of what is on the table as well. We've got an awful lot to talk about there. And luckily, we've got Gianna Franco here because your perspective on this issue is certainly one that I know the audience is going to want to hear because it involves women in sports and a very odd situation that a whole bunch of powerful men may or may not have put them in. Where is the line of decency? Where is your work day over? Where is personal time and private time supposed to be split up? It is a very weird story coming out of Washington. And what do you know? It has nothing to do with the Redskins' name. No. Unfortunately for Washington, this isn't a race debate. This is about taking advantage of women.
Right.
Everything's coming up, Daniel Snyder. Jeez. Get your act together, man. I mean, how about some good PR? Ever? Like, are we ever going to get any of that? Meanwhile, PR, Draymond Green did a little PR in the direction of Charles Barkley.
You old and it is what it is.
That was after Charles Barkley said he wanted to punch him during a broadcast. And obviously, this thing has taken on a life of its own. And it's now been more discussed than the actual results of games 1 or 2. And it has almost hijacked the game, which featured the return of Steph Curry. It's amazing to see the legs that are on this story. And, you know, I was talking with Nick before we got on the air today. By the way, Albie, my jet-setting producer, is gallivanting around. He's globetrotting right now. He's on the G6. He's on the show G6. having a really good time. So Nick is in today, and we're just talking about this thing. What's ironic about this whole thing of Charles Barkley is everything that Charles Barkley has ever, ever said, this is what's got him in trouble. This is what's got people and his bosses telling him it's time for you to go issue an apology. By the way, don't mess with Draymond Green. Don't mess with Mama Green either, because they will both come after you. And as we've said time and time again, it is the wrong time to pick a fight with any Golden State Warrior. You don't want to pick a fight with the Golden State Warrior. You don't want to pick a fight with a member of their traveling party, their security team. You don't want to be stealing jackets. You don't want to be rubbing anybody the wrong way. You don't want to be rubbing anybody in the face. You don't want to be punching anybody in the face, talking about punching anybody in the face. You don't want to be doing anything to get under the Warriors' skin right now, because they got rabbit ears. They are on red alert. Their head is on a swivel, and they're looking for linebackers coming across the middle in every direction. They are on full DEFCON 1 self-aware defense mode. And I kind of like it. I want the Warriors to stay nasty and mean throughout this whole thing. That's what I want. The reckoning of the Warriors. It was a reckoning of sorts on the playoff ice last night for the Sharks. They completely climbed back into this series. The Western Conference semifinals is now a best of three, with Game 5 happening tomorrow in Las Vegas. Last night was an awful lot of fun down at SAP. Now they got to take it out on the road. Speaking of on the road, hey, Utah Jazz. Ooh, look at you. Did you see Donovan Mitchell just put the Mama Chewbacca rebound dunk back last night? Oh, ho, ho.
So good.
Oh, he hung on the rim like he was angry at everybody in the city of Houston. That was phenomenal. We're going to talk about the upstart Jazz. Wouldn't it be amazing if that best record in the NBA Houston Rockets team didn't even bother meeting the Golden State Warriors in the Western Conference Finals? Think about all the time we spent talking about that. Imagine if it didn't happen. Here's the real skinny, though. The Houston Rockets are still going to win this series. They are the better team in this series. But Utah got one last night. And if you're the Warriors, you're thrilled to see that. That whole air of invincibility, which for a time or two Houston got to enjoy this season, I don't think you can enjoy it nearly as much when you drop a game to the Houston, to the Utah Jazz on your home floor, when the Jazz don't even have Rubio. And we're going to be talking with Tim Bontemps. We'll talk about all that coming up at 3:30. Tim Bontemps later this hour at 4 o'clock. Bruce Jenkins, we're going to have a 5 before 5. John Dickinson's going to join us. Our pal Anthony Slater was also going to join us today. Anthony had to push back. He will join us tomorrow. Dems to break sometimes. We're going to go to an A's dugout show at 6:15. It's going to be A's. It's going to be Mariners. But it won't be Ichiro. And we'll get into that next here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome, welcome. It's great to have you here this afternoon. One of the weirdest things about the whole Charles Barkley, Draymond Green thing is Charles Barkley complains all the time about how, you know, players are just too friendly. Players are just very interested in getting the game out of the way and then going to the club where the real competition is going to begin for whatever woman is the attention they're vying for. Like, you know, there's way too many cliques and friends and pals in the NBA, and I've heard Chuck make that argument time and time again. So when there really is a guy who is a disruptor, not looking to make friends, looking to actually make enemies in the moment, if not extending that moment to after the game, because that's cool with Draymond too, like, you'd think that Draymond would be everything Charles Barkley was looking for in a player. He keeps on going after the guy. It's very, very weird. Maybe it has to do with the whole him not liking the Warriors as a franchise thing. It's just odd. The story still has legs 2 days after the fact, and we got an apology out of him for just odd reasons, odd apology. I'm not here to judge and say your apology is not good enough. We need a second one now, or you have to apologize for your apology or anything like that. I don't care. This is like lunchroom cafeteria stuff. If the sophomores all want to give each other wedgies, let them. You know, who cares?
And it isn't the first time they've had issues with each other. And P.S., this is the first time Barkley has been, like, contentious with other people. Like, this is kind of his thing.
He loves it. That's the thing. Of all that Chuck has ever done, how is this What got him in trouble? I don't understand it. I really, really don't. Something else I don't understand in the world of sports today, it just took me off guard. You know, when I heard that Ichiro was coming back to the Mariners, I thought to myself, wow, what is he like, 45 years old? He's looking for that 18th season in the major leagues. Wright Thompson, phenomenal sports writer at ESPN.com, did a profile on Ichiro. We shared a little of it a couple months ago before when we were still in spring training. Gian and I shared a little bit of this story about how Ichiro had almost been pinioned under the pressure of baseball. Like he would like to walk away, but he can't. It's an obsession. It's an unhealthy obsession at this point. Like Ichiro no longer finds any joy out on a baseball field. It is a thankless, just you know, joyless pursuit of a discipline he knows he can never master. At least not as good as he used to. And as his skills declined and eroded, he not only disliked the game, he disliked himself. Like, it was this really interesting layered piece of how, geez, Ichiro, like, just can't find happiness in what should be his leaning on the top of the dugout step, tipping your cap to every fan you see in every city, goodbye tour.
If that's your feelings, then yeah, it's time to walk away.
Ichiro apparently doesn't want the goodbye tour. In about 45 at-bats with the Mariners, he's hitting 200, which for Ichiro is like a solid 100 points under his career average. The guy rolled out of bed to hit 300. 10-time All-Star, 2001 AL MVP. They say he's not retiring. They say he could come back next year. I'm going to tell you right now, this guy is done. You don't tiptoe away from the game by inches. You're either in it or you're out of it. And Ichiro has removed himself from the game of baseball. He's going to go upstairs to the Mariners front office. He'll be providing input on outfield play, base running, and hitting while serving as a mentor to players and staff. Whatever that is. Whatever that means. So he's going to be like their yogi. He's going to be their care bear, their My Little Pony. He's going to be their good luck charm. Their trash heap, their oracle. They'll go to him for any and all worries and concerns. I don't know what he's really going to do or why he would want to stay around his sport, which is clearly something he's trying to get away from. Like, if you're not going to be out there playing, why would you want to be there coaching? It's weird. The article, this move. By the way, congratulations to the Oakland A's, who officially broke Ichiro's spirit with a win last night. Mark Canha, big home run. And so comes to an end without any fanfare, without any goodbye tour, without the hug, the long hug that a lot of fans want. So ends Ichiro's career. They said that he could come back next year. I'm telling you, that ain't the way this game works. When you're 45 and stepping away because your skills have eroded to the point where you're a 200 hitter.
Yeah.
See you next year is not exactly the battle cry anyone's expecting to hear. One of the game's greats. A huge titan of a figure in terms of expanding the game globally, internationally. Ichiro Suzuki collected 3,000 major league hits after basically destroying Japanese leagues for all those years. I mean, it's the guy's an amazing story. One of the greatest throws of all time. Him hosing Terrence Long at third base at the Coliseum. It was a rope. It was amazing.
Maybe this new role will reignite that love and passion he had for the game.
I don't know. I mean, everything that I read in that story would indicate that it's too much. He wants to be away from it now, but he's still going to stick around it. By the way, this move to go to the front office precludes him from, there is no going back. There is no going back. A week from now, he can't be like, forget it, I want to play one more time. No, this is going to be it. If he's going to play, it'll be next year. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's almost no chance of that happening. So, without fanfare, au revoir, Ichiro. For a minute there, that was awesome. Like, it really was. For a minute there, You were one of the most exciting players in Major League Baseball. There was no doubt about it. You were worth the price of admission, man. Sharks were worth the price of admission last night. If you went in, I think some people obviously took their seat thinking, all right, here it comes. This is going to be the game where the Vegas Golden Knights take a 3-1 series lead, and it's going to be going back to Vegas facing elimination. The game started, no goal, no goal, no goal, and then late in the first, Sharks erupted.
Marcus Sorensen starts the cycle again. He has room. Here he comes. Right in.
So that made it 1-0, and 1-0's pretty good. What could make it better than 1-0? How about 2-0 because of Donskoy?
About 10 seconds left in period one. Jonas Donskoy through center with a head of steam. With a shot, he scores! Jonas Donskoy with 5 seconds left in the period.
The sound courtesy of NBC Sports Network. Donskoy, again, with just an eyelash left in the first period, made it 2-0 Sharks. And what do you know, for the first time, really all this series, they're in control of a hockey game. Isn't it nice to be in control? Not having to play catch-up? Not every single shift being a peel-your-face-off? This is too much pressure for everyone to handle. Sharks, 2-0. 2-0 hockey game means that the other team's still in it. The only way you can really separate is with that third goal, and what do you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Hurdle.
Now Vodka. A power move out in front. They score! On the rebound, Logan Couture. Jamming in front. This line comes through again.
The only thing cooler than 3-0 would be 4-0.
Burns fade away. Logan Couture. Shot taken, stopped by Fleury. They score! On the rebound, Joe Pavelski in the right place at the right time, and San Jose has a 4-0 lead.
4-0 is your final in the pipes last night. Martin Jones was just fantastic. What did he have? 34 saves. It's his sixth career postseason shutout. He ties Evgeny Nabokov for the team's record for most saves in a playoff shutout. So great night in the pipes. Very good night for the Sharks offense, for the Sharks power play. And now again, the Western Conference semifinals is a best of three. And look who's back out on the ice. Forget about Steph Curry. You've got...
Yeah!
Come on, he brings the whole world together. The United Nations of Donskoy. Hell yeah. 888-957-9570. Rob in San Jose. Rob, what do you got?
Hey, Damon. Yeah, I think the Sharks are now kind of in control of this series. That was our best lineup that we've had out there. The big switch was having Joakim Ryan out there finally healthy in place of Paul Morton, who they were really going to five defensemen for a while because Martin just couldn't keep up with their speed, and then you put Donskoy back in the slot there with Pavelski and Kane, and you have all four lines that are just rolling. Our fourth line with Sorensen, Fair, and the Milkman looking good, and then Timo Meier looking good. Once Kevin LeBanc gets going on that third line, look out. And Tomas Hertl is finally healthy, playing like he did before his knee injuries. He's a big physical guy. We out-hit them last night. We outshot them. Did everything right, and this team has faced, you know, lost the 3-0 lead, been to the Stanley Cup Finals. They are tested. They have a thick skin in Vegas, I think, is kind of panicking a little
Here's
bit.
Here's the deal. It has been a pressureless season for the Golden Knights. It really has been. They have been the belle of the ball. Nobody expected them to be here. They're playing with house money. They lose game five. If the Sharks take the next game, they are going to be feeling all the pressure in the world, and the Sharks would possibly be able to head to the Western Conference Finals with the Game 6 win, Game 6 Sunday back in San Jose, if necessary. And, oh, yes, it will be necessary.
Donskoy!
Tim Bontemps, one of my favorites. Love talking basketball with him. He joins us here. He's a national NBA writer for the Washington Post. Formerly New York Post staffer, oh, yeah, proud Bonnie alum. good to have Tim Bontemps here on 95.7 The Game. Tim, thanks for joining us, man. We're obviously going to get right into the fact that the Warriors got their prodigal son. He returned. He came off the bench. He was fantastic. But you are in Utah for the Jazz Rocket Series, I believe, which is now going to shift. How about stealing one down in Houston? That is a shocker.
Yeah, I mean, I am in Salt Lake, Damon. I was over at the Jazz facility today, and they're confident. I mean, this Utah team, I think, has been underestimated really a lot of the season. I mean, you know, Rudy Gobert missed 26 games, and this team still won 48 games, right? Like, if you told them before the season they won 48 games, they would have been thrilled. If you told them they won 48 games and Rudy Gobert didn't play in 26 of them, you would have said, or, you know, didn't play 26 games, they would have said, you're out of your mind. So, you know, they've done a remarkable job developing their talent. Obviously, Donovan Mitchell is the story there, but you look up and down their roster, whether it's Alec Burks, whether it's Royce O'Neal, whether it's Dante Exum coming back late in the year. I mean, they've done a great job of mixing and matching pieces, and Quinn Snyder's done a remarkable job having this team ready. And look, I mean, after winning that game last night, I mean, this series is really interesting. I mean, I think, you know, I will not be surprised at all if the Jazz win one of these games, and it would not shock me if they win both here and really make this interesting. I mean, I think, you know, for Houston to come into Salt Lake and win a couple games, they're going to have to play really, really well.
Because Tim,
this is not going to be an easy place to win.
You know, I liked what Utah did against Oklahoma City, but then Rubio's injury was enough for me to, you know, kind of hop off that bandwagon right when I wanted to be driving it. But it's amazing to see them win a game without Rubio, and you telling me that they could have more wins in them. What is the latest on Rubio? Might he be back for game 3 or 4?
I don't think he'll be back, but ironically, I think actually the loss of Rubio could wind up being a sneaky positive for Houston, not that the Jazz are better without Rubio, who has really done a nice job this year, proving his 3-point shot. Another credit to Quinn Snyder and his staff, you know, helping him become a little bit more of a threat. But if you look at this at their matchup with the Rockets, like, what is the one thing you'd walk into the series thinking that Utah can't keep up with Houston from a scoring standpoint, right? And with Rubio not being available, that's opened up a lot of minutes for Alec Burks to come off the bench, a guy who's really been banged up the last couple of years, but when healthy, he's the one guy on the team besides Donovan Mitchell that can really put the ball on the floor and score off the bounce. And he I think, had 17 points off the bench for them in game two. He had a huge shot late in game 6 after Rubio got hurt that helped them win that game. And I think, you know, with the way this series lines up, having another guy like him that you can come in and throw the ball to when Mitchell isn't on the court could wind up being, you know, a sneaky advantage for Utah.
Tim Bontemps here on 95.7 The Game. Let's get to the Warriors. Talk about a little scoring coming off the bench. Not bad, bringing Steph Curry off the bench. What a luxury Steve Kerr has, not just in the talent, but in the egoless talent that he has. Can you imagine, you know, having to sell to Steph Curry coming off the bench, and Curry's just like, yeah, it's a great idea, let's do it. And then, you know, you hear Carmelo Anthony giving press conferences of why things won't work out, and he just wants to be a team player. But coming off the bench, forget about it. You're out of your minds. What a contrast.
Well, I mean, I have a little sympathy for Carmelo in that situation because they did just lose the season. They have the season end the day before, and if I was him, I'd be pretty annoyed if people are asking about coming off the bench next season too. But that being said, I know Steve came on your show yesterday and said he's not going to come off the bench in game 3. I don't really know why he came off the bench in game 2. I thought it was kind of odd that they stuck with Nick Young in the starting lineup, a lineup that struggled again in game 2 when Nick was out there. But, I mean, look, the bottom line is, you know, Steph looked great. I think he showed you everything that you could hope to see from a health standpoint and from an activity standpoint in game 2. And having him back out there in the starting lineup in game 3, I mean, to me, you know, the Warriors playing small like this, playing their best lineup right from the jump, I mean, I think the odds are they're going to end this series in 4 games. And that would be huge for this team if they could win these 2 games and get, you know, a full week, you know, especially with this Utah-Houston series looking like it could be a real slugfest. You know, getting a full week to get Steph completely integrated again, get his conditioning all the way back, to have everybody healthy and rested and ready to go for what should be a tough Western Conference Finals either way at that point, I think it'd be a huge advantage to them. So I think it'd be wise for them to make sure they lock in and get these 2 games when – you know, they look like they're firing all cylinders and should be able to.
Yeah, you usually don't see Klay Thompson have back-to-back off nights. He had an off night in Game 2. They made up for that with Kevin Durant, who was pretty much off for the first three quarters, but closed like a freight train and hit the big shots when he needed to. That really is his modus operandi. Like, forget about what you saw out of Durant in the first three quarters. You can pretty much bank on him delivering in the fourth quarter, whether he was rolling or not.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Warriors, I mean, you look at that game, right? And the Pelicans got great performances from Drew Holiday, from Rondo. Nikola Mirotic played much better. Davis was great again, as usual. And, you know, it didn't matter because the Warriors had enough firepower to overcome that. You know, the difference between New Orleans playing Portland and New Orleans playing Golden State is that, you know, New Orleans could just zero in on CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard against Portland. And if you shut one or both of those guys down, you were going to win the game, regardless of what else your guys did. And when you look at how these matchups are playing up with Golden State, they've got, you know, it was already tough to stop Klay and Durant. Now you have Klay, Durant, and Steph. You have Draymond Green playing out of his mind. You have Andre Iguodala playing great. I mean, it's a number of advantages that you just can't keep up with if you're a team like the Pelicans. And, you know, they did a really nice job adjusting and bouncing back in Game 2. But I think, like you said, the fact that you could have, you know, Kevin Durant go, I think, 6-for-17 in the first three quarters and then go 5-for-6 and score 15 points in the fourth quarter just kind of sums up, you know, the amount of firepower the Warriors have and the ability they have to close games out in a way no other team can.
Talking hoops with my pal Tim Bontemps here on the Damon Bruce Show. So Game 2 got chippy after Game 1 was sort of a rollover and die game for the Pelicans. I think chippiness is the only way New Orleans is going to get back in this series. And Draymond's done a really good job not taking the bait. I mean, he had a battle royale with both Anthony Davis and Rajon Rondo. We even heard about right. The extracurriculars. You got Charles Barkley looking to get him all fired up. I tell you, he does not take the bait. And this is like a maturing, more dangerous than ever Draymond Green. I love Warpath Draymond Green. I really do.
Yeah, Draymond has been unbelievable through these first seven games for the Warriors. I would push back a little bit, though. I think, you know, watching Game 2, I thought, you know, that tie-up with Davis, he's playing on the edge, right?
He's flirting with it. He's flirting. There's no doubt.
Right, and that's the thing. That's the thing with Draymond, though, right? Like, when he is at his best, that's what he's doing, right? He is on the edge all the time. And, you know, you're kind of always playing with fire there. And you want him playing like that, because when he's playing with this edge, I mean, he's been their best player through these first seven games. I mean, I don't think that's a question. You know, the way he's dominated the game at both ends, I mean, he's been remarkable. But, you know, again, he's already got the one flagrant foul point from the first round. And I do think that, you know, that is something to watch, that, you know, can he, you know, especially going on the road, right? Hostile environment, you know, the fans are going to be into it. You know, you want him to be fired up and getting into it with guys and being intense, but you got to make sure you stay on the right line of that, because, you know, as everybody saw a couple years ago, you start to add those points up as the playoffs go along, and then bad things can happen down the road.
So if Toronto doesn't beat Cleveland in Game 2 of this series, which is underway in the first quarter right now, the Raptors might as well just contract the franchise and sell it off for parts. I mean, if they don't beat LeBron
they definitely should not plan on this series going much longer than 4 or 5 games if they lose tonight, that's for sure.
Amen. You're right about that. I want to ask you a little bit about the next series that's coming up with the 76ers and the Celtics, but I also want to ask you what I thought was the single best basketball question that I've been asked this week, and it will allow you to touch on that series as you ponder this question. Tim,
okay.
you have the next 5 years. Your mandate is to win a championship in the next 5 years, and you have the number one overall draft pick, but it can only be between two people. Who would you rather pick to win a title in the next 5 years? Giannis Antetokounmpo or Brad Stevens?
I would rather have Giannis. I mean, that's
but you had to think about it, right? Like, you had to think about it for a second.
No, I didn't. I had to think about it because it's not the question I thought you were going to ask me.
Right, okay.
I thought you were going to ask me if I'd rather be the Sixers or the Celtics.
Right.
No, look, Brad Stevens is an unbelievable coach, right? And, you know, if he's not the best coach in the league, he's one of the top three or four. If I have a chance to get a top five player, I'm going to take the top five player and go from there. But that's not a knock on Brad. He's been remarkable. And, look, that, you know, not to, you know, hijack the show, but just because I was thinking about, I was trying to think of an answer as you were asking me. Sixers-Celtics is one of the all-time NBA rivalries, right?
Oh, yeah. They've met more times in the playoffs than any other two franchises, right?
Right. And if you look at the way those two teams are lined up with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, and, you know, hopefully Markelle Fultz gets himself right for the Sixers. Plus, you got Dario Saric, you got Robert Covington. They have more high picks coming. They have the potential to go sign a Paul George, or, you know, maybe even LeBron or somebody in free agency this year. Then you got the Celtics with Horford and Irving and Gordon Hayward and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and more high picks, and Terry Rozier coming off the bench. You know, now he's starting and playing great. I mean, there's so much talent with those two teams. I mean, you look, I mean, those are the two teams that should be, you know, atop the East for the next 5, 6, 7 years. And I think this year is just the beginning of what should be a really fascinating rivalry between those two franchises that, like you said, have already met more than any other teams in NBA history.
So how much trouble do you think you can get into in Utah? Be honest.
Listen, man, I went to say Bonaventure. I can get into trouble anywhere.
There you go. That's our boy, Tim Bontemps of the Washington Post. You go tear up Salt Lake City, buddy. Good talking to you.
All right, Damon. I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Thank you very much. Tim Bontemps here on 95.7 The Game. Good stuff. Hey, get to hang out in Utah. Maybe you should go to the, what was it, the safe room, the break room? What's that called again? The panic room.
The panic room.
Whatever it is. Maybe you can go do that. Maybe you can have a little fun there. When we come on back, we've got more adversity between NBA teams and Utah Jazz fans. We saw it on display again. Jazz fans, they're prickly. Hey, maybe that's why their team is playing so very well. We'll talk about that. And, oh, what do you know? A little lesson. We shared it with you in your past. Maybe you didn't believe me. We have another example. Dads, moms, if you're going to raise that kid to be a professional athlete, you raise that kid quarterback. We'll explain next.
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
What's the old Willie Nelson song? Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. Unless, of course, you meant quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, in which case, it's not bad. It's good work if you can find it.
Yeah,
apparently, if you're a Dallas Cowboy, they have a broadcaster retirement plan that can apply to you as well. Do you see that Jason Witten is indeed hanging it up? He is going to step away from the field to get into the booth and, like, quadruple his salary. Hey, Elena, what if I could tell you, what if I told you this? Hey, we'll pay you a quarter of what we pay you now, but every day you'll be in great physical danger. Or we'll quadruple your salary, and the worst thing you might run into would be a bout with laryngitis. Like, that is all you really need to worry about. Would you take that deal?
Yeah, I'm cool with the laryngitis.
You're going to take that deal? Yeah, I think we all would.
I think so, too.
I know a lot of people are trying to burn down Jason Witten because he's stepping away from the game. And, oh, if you step away, you're in. No, look, it's better to leave a year before everyone's like, ooh, he needs to retire. And that's exactly what this allows Jason Witten to do. You know what also it allows Jason Witten to do? Besides quadruple his own salary and give his body a full lifetime off of all Monday morning aches and pains now. You never have to worry about that again. Unless his seat's a little cramped in business class. It's going to be the genesis of most of his knee pain. Be like, oh, yeah, I had a flight from Miami to Seattle. Oh. Think about the guys who get the broadcasting gigs. It's always the pretty boys. It's always the glamorous positions. It's always quarterback. It's always running back. It's wide receiver. Corner, maybe. You know, it's the sexy positions. You don't see nearly the amount of offensive linemen, defensive linemen, tight ends get jobs offered to them like this. If Jason Witten turned this job down at this point in his life, he would have been nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely nuts, because there is maybe no job waiting to be offered to you when you're ready for it. These broadcasting gigs come about. And when someone fills them, Gianna, they can say filled for 10, 15 years.
Yeah, they don't leave very often.
Like, don't you think Tony Romo is going to be holding down that number one analyst job at NBC for the next 10 years now?
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
So I don't care who retires in 2 years from now, that job is taken. Now, the number one analyst job on ABC can be yours as a tight end if you take it now. Say yes Easy Street is yours. Say no, Easy Street might move on from you, never to return to your driveway again. Jason Witten, no-brainer, buddy. Congratulations. Hope you're a good broadcaster. We'll be watching. We'll be evaluating. We'll be critiquing. One of the stories that has fascinated me, and I know it doesn't fascinate my audience, a West Coast audience, a San Francisco Bay Area audience, the return of Mike Francesa to WFAN, it's a very inside industry story. Like, I guess you'd have to work in sports talk radio to worry about it or think about it from the angles that I think are worry, you know, look at things. And that's why I care more than I'm sure half my audience does. But there's been so much buzz about this and so much talk about this. And it's a controversy and people love fanning the flames. And I was listening to a podcast that someone did with Chris Russo about, you know, the whole situation, Mike Francesa stepping away, this, that, the other thing. And it was just fascinating. Absolutely fascinating to see them basically lay out what they thought, you know, all right, this is what is fair when you step into my world. This is what is fair when I step into your world. Chris Russo was criticized for criticizing the show that Mike Francesa retired and then replaced him. It was not Craig Carton. He got investigated by the FBI. But Carlin in the Afternoon with Maggie Gray and Bart Scott.
That's it.
And his whole point was, how are you going to put Bart Scott in Afternoon Drive on WFAN? Like, the guy might be interesting. The guy might be great at football, but he doesn't know baseball. New York City is very much a baseball town. You can't have an Afternoon Drive radio show on WFAN unless you can name every Yankee, every Met for the last 20 years. Like, you really can't. You will not survive. And Chris Russo was burned down for saying, you know, how dare you, someone who's never been a professional athlete, criticize a professional athlete for wanting to talk about sports? And Chris Russo basically flipped the whole thing on its head, and he said, go back to Bart Scott's last year of his career. You tell him that they just hired Chris Russo as his team's strength and conditioning coach. Even though he has lifted weights, but he's never done it for real. But he is now the NFL team strength and conditioning coach. Bart Scott would have been apoplectic. He would have flipped out. How do you bring in someone who's never done it professionally at such a big platform? And that's what Chris Russo said. How do you bring in somebody who's never done this before on such a big platform? You don't start your sports talk radio training Afternoon Drives WFAN.
No, not at all.
That is not where you learn how to hit the curveball.
Or any big market.
No.
So Jason Witten then taking this position with having any experience per se as a broadcaster.
He better be really good instantly or he will be eviscerated. Like, you think people were upset about you dropping a pass that last Sunday? Be the guy who screws up Monday Night Football.
Mm.
Now, I actually think he's going to be really good. I've heard Jason Witten in, you know, and like, he seems like a good, relatable, kind of down-homey guy. Like, I'd be surprised if it didn't work unless he were just tight as hell.
It's working out for Tony Romo.
It's really working out for Tony Romo.
So maybe you're right. Maybe there is a grooming broadcaster's course they take when they're a Cowboy.
Hey, Damon, did you see that Kurt Warner is all upset about Jason Witten getting that job on Monday Night Football? Thanks, Lisa. Yeah, because you got guys who retired and went about trying to get that big broadcasting job at the end of the rainbow the right way. You know, they went ahead and they worked the Fox C team.
He put his time in.
Right. Like, if you look over and you see that your play-by-play guy is, what, Spiro Datus or whatever his name is? What's it? You're on the C team. Maybe you're being groomed for something bigger. Maybe that'll be where you top out. But at least you're going through the minor leagues so we can see who you are. Kurt Warner has been dealing with the broadcasting minor leagues to, you know, he was thinking, I'll be up for a big, big gig one day. Nope, now they're just plucking him. You don't even need an off season of retirement. We'll just take you right off the field, put you right in the booth. We'll pay you $4.5 million to see if you're any good at this. Not bad. It's a good gig if you can get it. And like we said, Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. Quarterbacks is also okay. Matt Ryan just got paid big time. Matt Ryan is the new man atop the quarterback dollar bill y'all mountain. The Falcons, they franchise their signal caller to a five-year, $150 million deal that will make him the league's first $30 million a year quarterback. That means he is nearly making $2 million per start. The NFL Network's Tom Pelissero reported that the contract includes a $100 million bump in guarantees and gives Ryan's contract, keeps Ryan under contract through now 2023. By the way, Derek Carr, Jimmy Garoppolo, like, they make money like we breathe oxygen. They make big cake. They're doing really well. And when you're making money like that, even here in the ultra-expensive Bay Area, money like that goes really far no matter where you are. The kind of money that Matt Ryan is making in Atlanta, in Georgia, like, if he wants a moat with a dragon, he can have one. If he wants his own medieval jousting pit, he can have one. Like, forget about Michael Vick and the whole dogfighting thing. That was the other Atlanta Falcons quarterback. This guy could be into full-on jousting. It would be no problem. Actually, you don't need that much room for jousting, do you? If you're into jousting, casually or professionally, we'd love to hear from you. 888-957-9570. Hi, Damon. Kevin from Livermore. I'm a jousting hobbyist.
Is she like a horse?
Well, yeah, you got to have your own horse and lance.
I need some space for that.
Yeah, you'd have to have your own lance. BYOL.
Bring your own lance.
Yeah. If you're jousting. is the number. It's really good to be with you. We are going to have our good pal. What do we got? We got Bruce Jenkins coming up here in just a little bit. We're going to say hello to Bruce Jenkins. We got a 5 before 5 scheduled a little bit later on today. John Dickinson's going to join us from New Orleans. We're going to have our final trivia face-off for our flyaway to the playoffs contest coming up at 6 o'clock. A's dugout show at 6:15 tonight. A's won last night. Look good doing it. Mark Canna late. Big time.
Canna's 2 for 3. Here's the pitch by Diaz. And a deep drive to left. Ichiro back at the track. He will watch. And the A's have taken the lead. Mark Canna delivers a leadoff home run in the ninth off Edwin Diaz, and the A's lead 3-2.
And before that, Ken Korak with the call. Jed Lowry, the inning before, stayed one of the hottest hitters on planet Earth to get the A's back into that game. They end up winning it. And what do you know? I hear our pal Bruce Jenkins is standing by. Fantastic.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.